So Lord Jesus, we do. We thank you for the Muslim peoples of the world. We thank you that your plan is for them, that they may have eternal life. We ask, Lord, that you would open up their eyes with understanding. Lord, that by hearing the truth of the gospel, Lord, that their ears would be unstopped, their eyes would see, and they would put their faith in the man Christ Jesus who died for them. We ask, Lord, for salvation to be rampant in Muslim nations in the name of Jesus. So, good morning. So my name is Brett Stark. I'm one of the associate pastors here. The other associate pastor's name is Eric Spady, and he's either just getting home from Scandinavia, or he's on his way home from Scandinavia. I'm not sure where Eric is right now. And Athel Barnes, our senior pastor, God bless his heart. He's been on sabbatical. He's back in Kansas City as of a few days ago, but, you know, he just needs some time to get rested from his vacation. So, God bless him. So I've been, I just wanted to say something about the Muslims. Muslims are dear to my heart, and I just encourage you sometime. There's lots in the Bible that you can pray for Muslims, but just a prophecy of something that God is accomplishing for Muslims. If you go to Isaiah 19 and read to the end of Isaiah 19, there's an amazing promise that speaks very much about the Middle East, where God is declaring what he's doing in the Middle East and what he's going to accomplish. And it ends something like this. He says that Egypt will be my people. Syria, this is ancient Syria, so you're talking about Middle Eastern nations, Middle East nations. So it says, Egypt will be my people, Syria will be my handiwork. What does that mean? Okay? And Israel will be my inheritance. So that's a prophetic word from God of what he's going to accomplish in the Middle East through our prayers as we pray for them on Sundays or in our families or with other people. So continue to pray for the Muslims. So we've been talking about grace for the last 3 weeks. And we want to continue on that same theme. And last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about the adoption. So we're talking about the free gift of righteousness that comes from God through faith in Jesus. And one thing I wanted to say was that as we're looking at this, we need to see that, something that stirred in my heart when Nicole was up here is that there's an early verse in Romans where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of anyone who believes. And so when we're talking about the free gift of righteousness, we're talking about the power of God for salvation, okay? And the thing we need to get right from the beginning, I'm kind of jumping the gun here, but we need to recognize that in our faith, okay, we are saved, we are being saved, and we will be fully saved when Jesus comes back. Okay, and we're going to be talking about some of the dynamics of that today. But in just to review, we were talking about adoption a few weeks ago, and there's grace in adoption. And the thing that we really, there were two things that I was emphasizing in adoption. One was that anyone who believes in the name of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and in what he accomplished for them, the Bible says that they have the legal right to become children of God. So there's a legal transaction that takes place in the person who puts faith in God to become an adopted child of God. So in that moment, when that person puts their faith in God, there is a, if you look at it this way, God takes his seal, so to speak. He signs the document, and he seals the document is us. Okay, he signs the human heart, and he seals the human heart, okay, with his own signature called Holy Spirit. Okay? So and it's a legal transaction, and it's now how God relates to you in adoption. So the thing I want to say is that we're looking at the free gift of righteousness from a few different angles. It's all the power of the gospel unto salvation, but we're looking at it from the angle of adoption, becoming children of God. Last week we looked at it from the angle of our legal position, what I was just talking about. I am so sorry, but I need to get my water. My mouth is dry. Okay. I was supposed to bring it with me. Okay. So we're looking at it from last week was the legal position that we have in Christ Jesus, and I was emphasizing that, and we'll talk about a few of those things. And now, this week, we're looking at the same power of the gospel, but from the living condition. Okay, what is our living condition before God? What is, how is it that we are to live before God? We're going to answer some of those questions. So, last week we emphasized the power of God to create within a human being a new person. Okay, this is part of the power of gospel, and this is what's called our legal position before God. Okay, so he takes his spirit and he puts it in the human who puts faith in him. Now we have to look at it in the context of where we were. We were we were sinners, unable to approach God, unable to do anything in relationship to God. We were in Satan's evil, what I like to call his sin trafficking, evil slave system, and he rescued us out of that through the death of his son and brought us into a new position in him, which we can call a legal position, or we can call it righteousness. Amen. Okay? So he gives us righteousness. And I asked you a question last week. I said, are you really a new creation or in Christ Jesus, or is that just hyperbole or a metaphor? Okay? So when we're reading the Bible, and my hope today is really to stir our hearts to go and search this out for ourselves. Be good Bereans and go look for it for yourself. I'm going to give you some of my nuggets, and you go and look for it, because you've got to own it in your own heart. So I asked that question last week, and the answer was, no, it's not hyperbole. It's not a metaphor. A powerful transaction happens within a human being that the old man is done away with. So there is an initial dying of the old man. He's buried with Christ in Jesus, and a new birth on the inside through the Holy Spirit, and that is my inner spirit man through which I live for God now. I couldn't live for God without that righteous spirit, but now he's given me a righteous spirit, and now I can live for God. That's the power of the gospel inside of us. Then I asked another question. I said, are you just a sinner saved by grace, or are you a new creation in Christ Jesus, created to do good works? Right? And so with that, I wanted you to think about, if I'm out of being a position of sinner, then where am I in this process? And today, that's where I hope to clarify. So some of us are still waiting. I am a sinner. I still sin. I have sin issues, right? Yeah. Okay? But the Bible says that I'm righteous before God. And so today, we hope to talk about some of the things that will make that a little clearer in your process of understanding the free gift of righteousness. So, David, if you could, David, if you could put up slide 4, please. So here, if you'll read with me, it says, at new birth, the righteousness a person receives is both imputed and imparted. Okay, imputed, this is what we talked about last week. Imputed is the immediate new birth, the immediate source of righteousness that new righteous spirit within us, and immediate access to God. This happens immediately when we put our faith in Jesus. That's happening on the inside. Have you ever wondered why Paul said in the beginning of Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel? You know, that kind of just triggered me one day. I was like, why does Paul say that I'm not ashamed of the gospel? It's because, you know, someone can look at Brett and I can say, I'm not the same anymore. And they can look at me and go, so what? Right? I mean, outwardly, I just look like Brett still. I mean, one part of that is, to the outward appearance, I don't look that different. But on the inside, I'm a new person. I mean, if you talk to somebody who has met Jesus Christ and has begun walking with them, the thing they will say is, I was one way, but I'm not the same anymore. I'm not the same person I used to be. That is the power of the gospel on the inside. It's not through the free gift of righteousness that God gives. So this is our legal position before God, so we can live for God. I mean, that's the beauty of it. We couldn't live for God before, but now, through the righteous Spirit of God in us, those people who are born again, we can live for God. This is really, really great news. Okay? Before I believed in Jesus, I couldn't live for God. I couldn't do anything for God. So that is great news. So today, to give us a little context and help us have some direction, we will talk about the born-again Christian, our living condition before God. Last week, we talked about the legal position, but we need to see this dynamic as working together. God gives us a legal position to live from, that's our righteous spirit, and in our living condition, we need to cooperate with God's grace, with that righteous spirit that's within us. And hopefully we'll break that down a little bit. But before we do that, the introduction I'd like to give is running with aim. So in 1 Corinthians 9, it says this, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly." So just looking at the highlighted ones, run in such a way as to get the prize. And then we do it to get a crown that will last forever. I do not run like someone running aimlessly. So Paul here is teaching us in Corinthians 9 that we shouldn't run our race aimlessly. To run our race, we need to know two things. One, the kind of race we're running, and what's the plan? Okay? So to run a good race, we need to know what kind of race are we running, and what's the plan? Well, let's think of two different kinds of races. One is a sprint, and one is called a long-distance race. Okay? So what's the difference between a sprint and a long-distance race? In a sprint, you run as hard and fast as you can for a short distance. It's a very short period of time. In a long-distance race, you run at a pace for long periods of time. Okay? So this helps us gives us a picture of what kind of race as Christians we're supposed to be running. So we're not supposed to be running a sprint. Our race is a marathon. Okay? Our race is a long distance race. As it says in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, I'm going to read just the highlighted part. It says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." It tells us it's an endurance race. The race you've been given is to run towards being... I'm getting ahead of myself. So, one moment. Let me go to the next... I want to go to the next scripture. So, the kind of race is an endurance race. Okay, we need to have a pace in life. But we also need to have a plan. So what is the plan? According to the scriptures, and this is in various places, but I chose 2 Corinthians 3, and where it says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image." That is the image of the glory of the Lord, or the image of Christ. So, what is the plan? To be transformed into the image of Christ. So we're running a long-distance race. It's an endurance race. By the grace of God, 80 to 90 years, maybe 100, on this earth, okay? So we have a long-distance race, and the aim is by the end of it, no matter when I die, that I look more like Jesus. My aim is to be transformed into the image of Christ in my attitudes, in my speech, in my thought life, etc., etc. So the question I want to ask today is it our aim to be like Christ? I want you to ask yourself that question. Is it my aim to be transformed into the image of Christ? Is it really what I'm doing in my Christian walk? Is that what I'm after? Because that is the plan of God. He wants us to be transformed into the image of Christ. He wants us to grow in the righteousness that He's given us. Second question is, why is the free gift of righteousness the key or the game changer to running a good race and increasingly becoming more like Jesus? So what I'm saying here is the free gift of righteousness, it is the key to running a good race for God and becoming more like Jesus. So we have to know the kind of race we're running. We need to remind ourselves we're not in a sprint. And we need to know the plan. The plan is through the gospel, the free gift of righteousness which God gives us. So I want to talk a little bit about the free gift of righteousness through new birth, that it sets us free. So in the race, in this endurance race, we need to know that we've been set free to run the race. In Galatians 5, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Then it says, "Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So it is for freedom from slavery. Do we know that we were enslaved to sin? Do we know that we were enslaved to death? We had no hope except God decided before the foundations of the earth that His Son would be slain. So for freedom's sake, He set us free. So we need to know there's a few things when we're talking about the freedom that God has given us. There's a few things that we need to know. One, what I just said, we've been set free from sin. Anyone who has been born again, who has had that righteous spirit put in them by God, that powerful work of God, they're set free in their legal position. They're set free from sin, from death, and from the wrath of God. But at the same time, we're also set free to something. So we're set free to be righteous, to obey in the righteousness of God. We can actually obey God now. We couldn't do that before. But we've been set free by the power of Jesus to actually be able to make righteous choices and be transformed through our minds in our decision-making, in various areas of our lives we'll talk about later. So we've been set free from things, but we're also set free to things. We're set free to be righteous. We can actually live for God now. We couldn't do that before. So let's look at a few scriptures to help us see that. So in Romans 8, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from sin and death. Then in Romans 5, I'm going to read the highlighted part. It says, well, I'll read the whole thing. But God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, that means made righteous by his blood, much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God. Okay, so that we sang earlier about God being our Father. Okay, if Jesus has died for us to save us from sin and death, how much more will he save us from the wrath of God? We don't have to think that God is standing over us, you know, with a mallet ready to beat us every time we make a mistake. That's not who he is. Okay, he is abundant in grace and in love and compassion. So in the grace of God, we have legally been set free from the condemnation of sin. But that doesn't mean we don't have to navigate through sin. We still need to navigate. We're here on this earth, and what I mean is that we live in a context of a body of sin and in a sinful world. Okay? So I want to just give you the quick dynamic here that, the dynamic that God has created for the born-again believer is this, okay? In our legal position, in my spirit man on the inside, I'm fully righteous. It means I have now a position of righteousness from which to live from in my decisions, in every aspect of life, in your career, in your family life, in your financial life, in your parental life, whatever area of life it is, these things apply because I'm making, from my spirit man, I can make righteous decisions. But at the same time, I'm still being made free to make right decisions in my living condition, in my body of sin, in my soul. Okay, because in my soul and in my body of sin, I still have an unrenewed mind. I have unrenewed attitudes. I have unrenewed speech. Okay, I have maybe a certain amount of new glory in that, but I'm continuously growing in the righteousness of God in my body of sin and in my soul. So I hope you're getting this. You have a righteous position before God. It's your legal position and the Holy Spirit within you from which you live. It's through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit in us, that influences our decisions and our actions in the body of sin. And it's all through the mind. We'll get through that. Okay. So that is the dynamic. It's a beautiful dynamic. And I want to tell you a secret. It was a secret for me, at least, until recently. It's probably not new to you. Okay? But the beauty of this is this. God created it this way. He didn't have to do it this way, but he did. He gives us a righteous spirit inside a body of sin and in a sinful world context. Why? Why did he do that? So that we'll feel guilty all the time? No. So that we can love him and love others. It's all about the first commandment and the second commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. In the process of being transformed into the image of Christ throughout our whole life, that endurance race, that's the situation that the Lord's put us in is, okay, I loved you completely with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, in your life, show me that you love me by being transformed into the image of my Son more and more over time. So it's a beautiful, beautiful picture, actually. So it comes down to love. God loved us, and now he's saying, I want to create my love in you more. And he's doing it in a sin context. Both we have the body of sin, so that's the first point of contact, and then we have the external sin in the world that we have to deal with as well. So in all of this, in our living condition, we're learning to cooperate with the righteousness of God. So we're talking about freedom. And I wanted to read a verse from Romans 1:17. It says, "For in it," meaning the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The righteous shall live by faith." And the reason I want to point that out is that we need to catch that we are living by faith. To gain our legal position is by faith. We put our faith in Jesus. And now to be transformed into the image of Christ, it's by faith continuously. So it's not like I get saved, Jesus gives me a new spirit, and now in my own strength I need to go and try to figure it all out. No, he says here, it's the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So the faith continues. It means we need to continue to believe the word of God, continue to exercise it in our lives. And so by faith, we're not only being saved and becoming a new creation, newborn creation in Christ Jesus, but we're also by faith being transformed into the image of Christ. It's important to know that, because sometimes we just we're so glad that he's changed us, but then we go out and we try to change ourselves even more instead of allowing the Holy Spirit and through the process of relationship with God, him changing us. So in this context of freedom, so the free gift of righteousness is given, and so that we can be free. So I want to give you the practical big picture is this, and I mentioned this last week a little. The government of heaven has declared that by grace through faith in Christ, the born-again Christian, the spirit man on the inside, is no longer an accomplice to rebellion. The spirit man. The spirit man is no longer considered a sinner in partnership with Satan's evil system. The spirit man is no longer a slave to sin ruled by Satan. That inner man person we have is totally free. Is totally righteous. It's a free gift of righteousness from God. Yet, at the same time, in our living condition, in our soul and in our body, the Christian no longer has to be accomplice to rebellion. Okay, we no longer have to be considered sinners in partnership with Satan, and we no longer have to be slaves to sin. What does that mean? We get to choose. The freedom is that we get to choose. So we're Christians now. We were baptized. Anyone who's been, if you haven't been baptized and you've been a Christian a while, do it. Because in the baptism, you are basically promising to God that you're going to live for him for the rest of your life. That's the basic promise. That I'm going to live on the upward call of becoming more like Jesus for the rest of my life. Okay, there's more to it, but I'm just summarizing it. Okay, so on the inner man, we don't have to see ourselves. We don't have to see ourselves as accomplices to rebellion anymore. But in our living condition, it's a process. It's a process. We need to understand that process. So the point that I'm trying to make is the gift of righteousness from God is to give us confidence in our living condition. As we live from this place of knowing that I'm righteous and I have the righteous place to live from, and that I have the Spirit of God and the Word of God to live from, that I can begin to make choices that line up with what God is saying, so I don't have to be fearful of condemnation anymore. As Romans 8 tells us, right? I don't need to be afraid of the devil's lies and accusations because I know my legal position and I know that I've set my heart to be more like Jesus. And if I keep in that place, that's the kind of race we're supposed to run, that endurance, long-term race. We're on that upward call to be more like Jesus in our lives. So I don't have to feel condemned or to be afraid of lies and accusations. I don't have to be afraid of social opinions or media agendas or any of these things, because I've been set free in my inner man, and I've set my heart to be more like God. So without a growing understanding about God's gift of righteousness, and without an understanding of why God has given us a new righteous spirit man in a body of sin, we are more susceptible to confusion and deception in the battle of the mind. So if we know what we believe about the free gift of righteousness, that's why I'm talking about it, then in our walk, as we face different lies and accusation and condemnation and different external things that affect us, we have a strong place to stand in faith, and we have a strong place to continue forward in faith. So I wanted to paint a picture. Well, we'll paint that picture another time. Okay, so I mentioned earlier that those things were just basically to talk about being free from sin, death, and the wages and the wrath of God. The story I was going to tell, I'll just throw it out there, but I'm not going to tell it, is read about in Esther chapter 8. It's when, after Haman is hanged on his own gallows, okay, you would think that the battle is won, but it's not. See, there was a law that went out, and the law gave permission to certain provinces and peoples to be able to kill Jewish people anywhere within that kingdom. And so Esther goes to the king and says, just change the law, just change the law. And he's like, I can't. It's impossible to change the law. But here's my signet ring. Go make your own law. All right? So they make a righteous law. Their heart is right. They don't want the massacre to happen. So now they go and they make a law that allows the Jewish people to defend themselves. And so they send that out to all the provinces. And so when the certain day came, the Jewish people were able to defend themselves from those who wanted to destroy them. And God gave them victory in that scenario. The reason I wanted to talk about that is that that's what our living condition is like. Okay, we, legally, okay, we have the legal position, but just like the Jewish people, they had to actually go out and defend themselves. They actually had to participate with that legal position. What if they gave the announcement, okay, you have the freedom to defend yourself and protect yourself from anybody who wants to destroy you, and that went out into the provinces, and they just decided, I don't believe that. I don't believe that's from the king. And then they get destroyed, right? Well, look at our own situation. What if we don't believe what God has said about us and what he says in his word for us, then when the attack comes, when the lies, accusations, condemnations, etc., come, then we get confused or deceived and we don't know what to do. But if we know our legal position and we know what the Word of God says and we pray and by the Spirit and by the truth, we stand against those things, we know we stand in truth, basically, then we can defend ourselves and we can be successful in that. So that was the story I was going to share. I ended up sharing it anyways. So we are free to live for God. Hallelujah! Okay? We are free to embrace a righteous lifestyle. That's an amazing thing, that we have the freedom to say yes to that. Okay? A scripture from Romans 6 says it this way: for the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. That's Jesus. So you also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So we are in Christ Jesus. We are free, to live for God. Okay? We are free to embrace a righteous lifestyle. We couldn't do that before. That's the power of the gospel. In our freedom, we are not to indulge the flesh, though, right? So I just wanted to point this out because, you know, it's easy to accept the gospel and believe it on the front end, but then either out of confusion or lack of knowledge or just the lack of reading the Bible or getting understanding for yourself, we can be in that position of living a worldly lifestyle even after we said yes to Jesus. Okay, the Bible says it this way. In Galatians 5, 13 and 14, he says, "You were called to freedom, only do not use your freedom for the flesh." Okay, so we have freedom, and the point I was making earlier is the freedom is really freedom. It's not like God, well, let me backtrack. The freedom is really freedom. We have the freedom to choose to enter into that sin, into that situation, or we have the freedom to say no and enter in and do the righteous thing, okay? Okay, maybe it's a financial thing, and you know that if you do it this way, it's a little sketchy, and probably not quite right, and inside the Holy Spirit, your inner spirit man is going, no! And then on the outside, you're thinking, if I do it, I'll get that extra money I need to buy the new washing machine. Okay? So that temptation comes in, right? And so this is where the power on the inside comes. We have the freedom to choose, though. We choose one or we choose the other. So it comes down to real life decisions every day. Also, it says in 1 Peter 2, it says, "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil." Okay, so the point is God has given us this amazing freedom, this place to live from, to live for righteousness. He's saying, now that I've given you this freedom to live for righteousness, don't abuse it. Don't use it for your own selfish purposes. Okay, he says, use it to be transformed into the image of my Son over a period of time. Okay, so I want to get to the next part, which is the living according to the Spirit, not according to the body of sin within us. Here, it is important to mention that the Word of God recognizes that we are righteous and being made righteous. We kind of mentioned it before, but we really need to get this. We need to say, I am righteous in Christ Jesus, okay? It's not about positive thinking. It's about a literal transaction that has happened when you put faith in Jesus. Okay? So, but the condition is this. Legally, we are fully righteous. In our living condition, we are still being made righteous in the body of sin and in our souls. What does that mean? Okay, it means we're in this process of giving over the members of our body to righteousness. So let's, I did want to read a verse from Hebrews 10, 14, it's slide 14. It says here, "For by a single offering," Jesus' offering, "he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." So a way you can say that is he has sanctified for all time those who are being sanctified. Okay, so you're already sanctified and you're still being sanctified. So that's the dynamic of the free gift of righteousness that God has given us. A legal position that is completely righteous and a living condition that is growing in righteousness. So I'm fully righteous before God by the blood of Jesus, but by the grace of God through the Word, I'm continuously growing in my righteousness. You can say this is an interesting study. You can go and look at it. I didn't actually get to do all the study I'd like, but if you look at adoption, what we talked about 2 weeks ago. We've been adopted, but we're still in the adoption process. And when Jesus comes back, we will be fully adopted. So it's the same thing in that situation. With salvation, we've been saved. We are still being saved. And when Jesus returns, we will be fully saved. So it's this, we see this dynamic that God has created for us, and it's beautiful. And I want to remind you, it's about loving Him. He's created a context and an opportunity for us to show our love for Him, to prove our love for Him, but not in our own strength, but by faith, by living out the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit. So The confusing part, I guess, is that we still recognize that we sin. And then that's when the lies and accusations come in. But if you know your position before God, you can stand against those lies and accusations. And if you sin, then what? Your life's over, right? So, I sinned. I'm done. No! Okay? What did Jesus say in 1 John? Okay? If you confess your sins, he's just and right. I just messed it up. To forgive us of our sins, okay? Just and something. Faithful, thank you. That's what it was. He's just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. I want to bring in just the idea of repentance right now, because this is part of the grace of God in the free gift of righteousness. God gives us a beautiful aspect of his grace called repentance, okay? So what I'm just talking about, how do we stay in that place of growing, being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ? Well, a big part of it is being humble, recognizing when we sin, and repenting of it. So when we repent, God cleanses us from that so that we can continue with him in the relationship and becoming more like Jesus over time. But without that, I sit in that sin, okay? I can become bitter about it, and different things can grow from it, and it's ugly, okay? So whether it's forgiving someone or whatever the situation is, okay, we need to repent so that we can continue in that upward call of being transformed or conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So what I wanted to say there was that repentance is key, part of the process. But we get afraid of repentance because we're a little bit like Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, like, I need to hide. I hope he didn't see that. He did. Okay? Just already decide. He already knows. Okay? And then just bring it to him and confess it. And if it's against somebody, go to that person. Let's do Matthew 5 through Matthew 7, and then it'll be a lot easier for us, okay? So, wanted to get back to my notes here. So, what I want to do is just read a few things. I just realized, like, wow, time flies. What I want to do is read just a few comments from Romans 6 and Romans 8. And the idea is to show that there really is this legal position and this living condition that we're living in. And it's spoken about in the scriptures, not only in Romans, but in other places as well. But I'm using these ones to show it so that you have some scriptures to kind of root yourself in. So in Romans 6, this is slide 15, it says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for one who has died has been set free from sin." So the key thing here that we want to catch is that the old spirit man is dead and buried with Christ in his death. Okay, and now we need to put on, I'm sorry, now we need to put to death the body of sin. So the Lord is saying, the old self died, and I'm going to say it this way, I don't know how else to describe it, but it's like, it's taken out, it's extracted. And a new righteous person, the new birth, is put within us, and now from that place of righteousness with the Holy Spirit and God's word, I can put to death the misdeeds of my own sinful body and my soul. So where I'm sinful in my attitudes of my heart, where I'm sinful in my speech, where I'm sinful in my actions, where I'm sinful in my emotional responses to people, that's where the free gift of righteousness strengthens us to put those things to death. But the question I asked in the beginning is, are we really living to be transformed into the image of God, into the image of Christ? And if we are, then we're paying attention to these things. We can't just go on with life as usual, go to the office, come back, make dinner, you know, do the things we do every day without And in all of that, we need to be paying attention. And it's a matter of seconds and moments when we're making decisions with people. At work, how many times have you, I'll just use myself. How many times have I at workplace, in different workplaces I've worked, where I, in my words, I said something that hurt somebody and it was wrong? Well, to make that right, God taught me that I need to go to that person and tell them, I'm so sorry for hurting your feelings. I'm sorry I said that. And ask them for forgiveness. Okay? My freedom isn't based on them forgiving me, but I'm being transformed into the image of Christ, so I want to make it right for my own man, spirit man, for my own condition, but also that the relationship will be good. So, like I said, time goes by fast. I'm going to try to pick at least one more verse, and then we're going to finish it up here, guys. Maybe two. Okay, this is the one I wanted. So this one's good, because it really lays it out clearly, at least, I think. So this is slide 16, David, Romans 6, 12 to 14. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Who's the your? It's you, your new spirit man, your righteous person. Okay? Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, the body that's dying, the body that's going to go into the grave. This body is going to the grave. It's going to die. Okay? Do not, to make you obey its passions, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present, I'm going to skip a little here, your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. So here this paints the picture, again, that we're taking the members of our sinful body, and through the Spirit and through the truth of God's Word, we're applying it into our lives, so we're being transformed in those areas. Same things that I mentioned before, the attitudes of the heart, okay? Our speech, no ideas are coming. Okay, in other areas of our lives. So I wanted to finish with Romans 12, because this is the beauty of it. I'm skipping several. If you want some more scriptures about this, you can ask me, I'll give you the notes. It's not a full study, but there's some good scriptures in here. So in Romans 12, it says it this way. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Did you catch that? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Jesus laid down his life for us. And this is the process of laying down our lives for our friend. Okay? Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Okay? In your inner man, you're perfect, but in your living condition, the aim is to present something that says, I love you, God. At the end of our days, it says, I loved you the best I could. I put to death the misdeeds of my sinful body the best I could. So it's a powerful scripture that shows us our living condition and what we're aiming for. So just keep that race in mind. So although the body is dead, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. This is both now, life by the Spirit, and when Jesus comes, we will be resurrected to newness of life forever in a new resurrected body. Praise the Lord. Okay? So it's both. So we're in this continuum with him of being transformed into his image, where in our mortal bodies right now, the body of sin, which is dying. Okay, but we're alive because of the Holy Spirit. So we're living for God. That's what it means, basically. Okay. There are other things there, but for time's sake, I'm going to stop. Okay. So let me pray. Let's take a few minutes to pray and just ask God that these truths would enter into our hearts. I want to ask you to just go back, read Romans 1 through 8 over and over again. As I've done it, you know, the washing of the word has been great. It's opened my eyes to many things. I'm growing in understanding. And so if you do that, you will too. So 6 and 8 are wonderful. Well, 5 through 8. So Lord, we just come to you. We thank you for the free gift of righteousness. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus, the Son of God, the innocent one who died for us so that we could be innocent. We thank you, Lord, that your work is from faith to faith. Amen. That by faith we're born again, but by faith we continue to live and be transformed into the image of Christ. So Lord, grace us to live by faith. Help us to follow your ways. Teach us to follow your ways, that we find favor with you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would give us light and understanding related to our position before you, so that we can live confidently when condemnation comes, when lies come, when accusations come. Lord, give us that confidence to know where we stand and where we're going. Lord, grace us in our decision making, even today and this week. Help us to sign up again, to live, to be transformed into the image of Christ. Lord, if we've turned from that for a season, if we've just kind of let our guard down for a while, Lord, help us to take up our race again. Lord, help us to have that plan to run, to be made righteous in our living condition more and more. Lord, we want to offer our lives to you as a living sacrifice. On the day we meet you, on the day that you evaluate us and set, we want to be able to present to you something beautiful. So, Lord, we ask that you would grace us to live for you from this day forward in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to take a little time. Brian's going to be playing up here. We like to take time at the end of our services for to just pray, to be before the Lord during this last song, or to be prayed for. If there are any deacons in the house, which I know there are, if you could stand on the sides, make yourselves available for to pray for people if they want prayer, that would be wonderful, and I'll be there as well. But just want to encourage you to be before the Lord just for a couple of minutes for this last song. And if you want prayer, please go to someone to pray for you.